Good morning, church.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Not bad. Not bad. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Easter. I'm not afraid to call it Easter, and I'm not afraid to mention the word resurrection. Amen. As most of you know, pretty much, thank you, every Sunday, we teach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter isn't a one day a year thing for us. It's 24/7. We should be living our lives in the hope and the resurrection that's found on Easter Sunday. We celebrate Christ resurrected daily, or we should. Holy cow, do you see the text on this thing? Woo, I don't need my glasses for this. Wow, this is the kids' Bibles? Wow, no wonder they're going blind. No, they're not going blind because of this. Wow, I've never seen text this big before. The truth is, though, for Easter Sunday, it's for a lot of people, it's the only day, one of two only days, that they go to church. Easter and Christmas. I saw a joke yesterday on Babylon Bee, and the headline said, God confirms people who attend church 2 days a year will also be able to go to heaven for 2 days a year. We laugh. It's funny. We understand. Church attendance has nothing to do with your salvation, thankfully. Let me find where. I'm heading to 1 Thessalonians is where I'm headed. But the sad thing is, for people who only attend church twice a year, often when they go to church on Easter, or maybe Christmas even, they're going to attend a church that possibly is scared to mention the word resurrection. They're going to attend a church that's too scared to mention or talk about the blood of Jesus. They might even attend a church that's too scared to mention or talk about the word Calvary. These are offensive words. They're afraid of upsetting people who come to the church because they may not come. They're worried about upsetting people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we've been studying through the Gospel of John, and last time I read, Jesus wasn't worried about that. John chapter 6, rewind just a little bit. We weren't going over that too long ago. And Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give, right? I give for the life of the world. The bread that I give is my flesh. Right? What did people say? They were disgusted, right? His flesh? That's disgusting. They said, those are hard sayings. It's hard for us to accept and understand those type of sayings. So what does Jesus do? Right? Oh, he watered it down. He changed the wording so that they wouldn't be offended. No, he repeated it again. Right? And he said, the second time he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He said, oh, you're offended by what I said? Let me amp it up. I'm going to turn the volume up to 11. Jesus wasn't worried about that. Right? People left. They quit following Jesus. There were those who were disciples, that they were students of Jesus, that turned around and left because they found his words offensive. But here's the thing. They were spirit and they were truth. So this morning, we're going to take the risk to make sure. Right? We're going to risk offending you. Which I don't think I can do, but you know, I'll try. Because the resurrection is the most significant event in history ever, hands down. The message is not to be put aside for the sake of Easter eggs and donuts, though I like donuts. People need to hear the truth of the gospel. Many of you have experienced personally, and you're living resurrected lives, and our lives should always be a testimony to a living and a risen God, Jesus. Hosea 6:2 says, after 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. Jesus is alive. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, very good. Just as he said. You've been given a new life. You're a new creation. The proof of the resurrection is in you because the Spirit of God dwells in you. The proof of the resurrection is the power of the resurrection in your life, and Jesus is working in you and through you for the glory of God. It's the grace of God in your life that has set you free from the power of sin and death. That's the proof of the resurrection. It's an eternal freedom that's available to everyone. It's something that we should never be ashamed of to speak about or to share. Because it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, he goes on to say, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. He goes on and he says, if Christ has not been raised, right? If Christ, in Christ, if we only have hope for today, then we of all people are most to be pitied. But then he says, but Jesus did raise from the dead.
Amen.
Right? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So we will not be ashamed to speak of the resurrection or of the blood of Jesus or of Calvary because we're not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. You probably know it, but just in case you've forgotten recently, I have no idea what translation I'm reading from. NIV. Okay, the nearly inspired. All right. You'll forgive me. But here we go. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you speak these words to our heart. I pray, Lord, that you continue to stir up in us the proof of the resurrection, Lord. I pray that we continue to stand in it boldly, proclaim it boldly, and not be ashamed to speak of it, because it is the power, the salvation for those who believe. So we thank you, Lord, for this, and I pray you just be with all those who are here. You bless all those who are here this morning, all those watching online. Be with all those who can't make it because they're not feeling well. Just thank you, Lord, for the power of your blood. Just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, the title for my message, I borrowed from that little video that we watched before we started. That Eddie and I were watching, we were watching a prophecy conference in Australia a few weeks ago, and I think it was, I don't remember who, one of the speakers showed that video. And we're like, hey, that's a cool video. I'm going to go find that. So I went and found it so I could show it to you today. But my title I borrowed from that. Friday is here. Sunday is coming. Now, when we speak about Friday and Sunday, I want you to understand that Friday and Sunday have a past, present, and future application. Right? In a very real way, we have experienced the power of what happened in the past, right, some 2,000 years ago in our present lives. And we live in the hope of his future promises, all which revolve around his death and resurrection. Right, the past informs the present because Friday has happened and Sunday has come because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can, in faith, stand in the midst of a Friday and with hope be assured that Sunday is coming. Because God's promises never fail. Amen?
Amen?
But before we get too far, let's define terms. You may think you know what Friday and Sunday are. You have your ideas, right? What's a Friday? What is Friday? We think of Friday as entering the weekend, right? The last day of work before a small reprieve, unless you're someone like me who works on Saturday, right? Friday is associated with the anticipation of rest, the anticipation of relaxation, unless you have kids, right? And freedom from responsibility for all you retired folks. That might be your definition of a Friday. Or you might have your own definition of a Friday. But biblically speaking, Friday was not a good day. We call it Good Friday, but understand we only call it Good Friday because Sunday came. If you were to ask the disciples on Friday, if you could go back in the time machine and talk to them on Friday, they would not tell you it was a good day. They wouldn't even speak to you, but that's a different story. For the disciples, it was the worst day they'd ever experienced. It was a day of betrayal. It was a day of denial. It was a day of cowardice. It was a day of envy, hate, brutality, suffering, despair, defeat, and death. Right? The death of their Messiah. The death of the Son of God. How did that happen? I'm sure that's what they're asking themselves. How did we get here? This was not supposed to happen. They didn't gladly just hand him over to the Romans and hand him over to the priests because, oh, he's going to rise on the third day, so here you go. Because they weren't expecting that. No, they kind of fought him. They cut off an ear, remember? They didn't want him to take Jesus. Jesus knew what he was supposed to be doing. Jesus considered it the joy set before him. But for them, Friday was a brutal day, right? They had no idea Sunday was coming, none. They ran and hid, the disciples did, right? The idea of the resurrection was far from their minds. They thought maybe they were next. Maybe they would be hunted down. Maybe they would be arrested. That's why Peter denied Christ 3 times. That's a Friday. Jesus had told them in John chapter 3, as we read, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and as recorded in Mark 9. He told them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. If you read Mark 9, you'll find, because that, when we read it, looking backwards, you know, hindsight, 20/20 vision, we like that. It seems pretty straightforward to me. But it said that the disciples, when they heard that, they didn't understand it. Not only that, but they were afraid to ask him what it meant. They didn't want to know. They didn't believe it. It wasn't on their mind. So that was their Friday. Friday was unfathomable. They never saw it coming. It crushed them. All hope was lost. Darkness had won. Evil had won. Jesus was dead. That was their Friday. Have you ever had a Friday? Ever had a day? Doesn't have to be Friday specifically. So bad that in the mess and the confusion and despair of the moment that you completely forgot all of God's promises. That you completely forgot all of his word. That you completely forgot everything that you held on tight to concerning God. And in that moment, you abandoned it all. You let it all go as your whole world came crashing down. You ever had a day like that? That's a Friday. That's what the disciples experienced. In real simple terms, Friday is a bad day, right? Right? It's a day in the valley of the shadow of death. So if that's Friday, then what is Sunday? Well, Sunday's a new day. Technically, it's the start of a new week. For some, it's a day of rest. Constantine started that. He put out the first edict that people were supposed to rest on Sunday. For some, Sunday means football, right? And binge watching TV and being lazy and hanging out on the couch in your PJs. For some people, that's Sunday. Another, I mean, it is the literally the day of the sun. Or in other words, it's the sun's day. And yes, I understand that all of the names of our months and days of the week all come from Greek and Roman pagan gods. But in reality, as it turns out, it was the sun's day. The Son of God, God the Son, Jesus. Sunday is his day. There's a reason we have church on Sundays, why the early church picked that day to start gathering. Because that's the day Christ resurrected, on a Sunday. He'd been lifted up, he'd been crucified, he'd been dead and buried on a Friday, and now on Sunday, the third day, he had risen. Right? Jesus was alive. When the angel appeared to the women who've come to the tomb on a Sunday morning looking to cover the body with the spices and the ointments, what did they find? They found an empty tomb. They found a stone that had been rolled away. They found an angel or two, depending on which gospel you read. Right? And the angel asks a valid and very important question. He says, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is risen." As he said, Christ isn't on the cross any longer, like where the Catholics like to leave him. Right? He's not in the tomb either. He isn't here. He's risen. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to the apostles. Right? He appeared to James and Peter and all those. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. And he goes, most of whom are still alive at the time he was writing that. Talk about a day of visibility. There's one right there. Jesus appeared to 500 at one time. So the angels are like, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He isn't here. And that's a question for you. The question you need to ask yourself in your walk. Because it has to do with his love for you. It has to do with the sacrifice that he made for you. It's about the purpose of the cross and the freedom that comes with his resurrection. The cross is a symbol of freedom. Not just because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin and was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, but because Christ died, he defeated death, and he rose again. In that lies our hope. That is Sunday. That is a day of hope. It's a day of promises fulfilled. It's a glorious day. It's a day where the horror of Friday is fast forgotten as the hope of Sunday shines, right? As the light of the world shatters the darkness and shines into our life, into our soul, and lifts us up out of the hopelessness and the grief and gives us true life, eternal life through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is Sunday. But here's the thing. Many people don't know it's Friday. Many people don't know Sunday is coming. The disciples didn't. Do you know Sunday is coming? Do you understand what that means for you in Christ? Because you've experienced Friday. You've experienced Sunday. But Sunday's still coming. That's the future promise that comes through the resurrection of Jesus. Joel 2:1 says, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all its inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. It's near. Sunday. Near. Some people don't know Sunday's coming, and they don't know they're living on a Friday. Despite everything that's going on around them, they're just going on. The Bible tells us they're going to continue the business like nothing's changed. The whole time Noah built an ark for 120 years, people just went on by. He's a crazy old man, right? As long as he doesn't get in the way of my latte, I'm fine. But not everybody understands this. But people do. You should understand this, right? You live in the hope of Sunday, right? You should. You should be living in the hope of Sunday. Which is another question maybe you should be asking yourself. Am I living on Sunday? Or am I still stuck on Friday? Where am I? Let me give you a couple of examples of what it's like to be living on Sunday in the midst of Friday. The first one is Job. Job experienced a major Friday. Right? He went through a Friday that most of us never want to go through. But yet, he lived in Sunday. He says in Job 19, verses 25 to 27, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh..." He just said his skin was destroyed, but yet in his flesh, what is that picture of? His resurrection. "I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me." Job is saying, I'm living in the worst time of my life, yet my hope is in the resurrection. I am going to see God in my flesh even after I die. If you want a more New Testament example, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. He says, "We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed." Right? "Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death, for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." That's living on a Friday. Surrounded by Friday. But our hope's on Sunday. Amen. That's our life. We can testify to this personally. We have gone through that exact thing. In the world, but not of the world. The world's in a Friday. But you're living in the hope of Sunday. But through that, we understand. Through the death and the resurrection of Christ, we understand that death has a purpose. That there's a reason for it. That it's not the end. John 12, 24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So we understand that life comes from death. We don't serve a dead king. And we're not afraid to say that Jesus is king. Or call him King Jesus. It's not anti-Semitic. He's your king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we don't serve a dead king. We serve a risen and a living king. And because of that, we have passed from death to life. If you remember back earlier on in John when we were teaching through it back in chapter 5, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." We're not there yet, but in John 11, Jesus will say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live." There's a purpose. Death has a purpose. Death leads to victory. Death is not the end. Suffering is not the end. Tribulations are not the end. The tribulation, we won't be here for it because of the rapture, but the tribulation is not the end. There will be tribulation saints, those who come to Christ in the midst of the greatest hell on earth anyone has ever experienced. There will be an angel of the Lord that will be sharing the eternal salvation of Christ Jesus. It is not the end. It is not over for anybody. Friday is not the end. There is life after death, and that life is found in Jesus. With the resurrection of the dead, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians, what sown is perishable, what raised is imperishable. Don't you want to be raised imperishable? Yes, I do. Thank you, Lord. No more back pains, no more hip problems, no more health issues. Maybe my hair will come back. I don't know. But I want to be raised imperishable. I'm looking forward to that day. That's the promise of Sunday. That is the hope of Sunday. The hope for today and the hope for tomorrow. The hope for today, something we've already experienced, but many people haven't and they need to. See, here's the thing. Like I said, there's a lot of people who don't understand they're in a Friday and don't understand that Sunday's coming. There's a lot of people who don't even want to discuss the resurrection or even understand the resurrection. Or yes, it's true. If you use the word resurrection, which you shouldn't stop doing, they'll be like, I don't want to talk about that. But yet it affects them regardless. It affects them regardless because it tells us in Daniel chapter 12, it says, the angel, when he's speaking to Daniel, he tells them, but at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, amen, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Where do you want to be? The resurrection is going to affect everybody. The coming resurrection is going to affect everybody. There are those who will be caught up to meet Jesus in the sky that never died. But they're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But before them, all those who have fallen asleep previously will be resurrected first. And they'll be given their resurrected bodies. It'll be glorious. Oh, happy day, right? Can you imagine? Yes. Oh, happy day. Which is why we strive as best as we can for the resurrection of Christ Jesus, right? That we may know him and the power of the resurrection, right? We may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible we obtain the resurrection of the dead, as it tells us in Philippians. See, those there's the promises for today. For us, we understand these. The promises for today are forgiveness, the fact that we've been made a new creation, the fact that we're not alone, the fact that we're loved, the fact that there's victory over death. Christ has defeated death. And that we live now a resurrected life in Jesus through the power of the resurrection. That's what Paul's talking about when he writes that in Philippians, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's living on Sunday. But then there's the hope of the resurrection for tomorrow. There's the hope of resurrection for tomorrow. John 6:40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's the hope of resurrection for tomorrow. In Christ, you're living a resurrected life, but if you pass away, the hope is that he's going to raise you up on the last day, that you're going to rise again. There is a spiritual resurrection. You were dead, and yet now you live because you gave your life to Christ. There's going to be a physical one too, just as Christ was physically resurrected. That's why when we read in 1 Thessalonians 4 here, right, we don't grieve as others who have no hope. The world's grieving because it doesn't see a way out. It can't see hope. To them, there is no hope, right? You know this if you talk politics with anyone. There is no hope. Every side is corrupt. We need new people, is what they'll tell me. We got to kick everyone out and get all new people in there. How do we do that? It's not possible. Oh, well, there's no hope, right? But there is. There is hope. Revelations 26 tells us that blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they were priests of God and Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. There is a hope for us. There's a promise for tomorrow for us in Christ. So we live and a Sunday, but we live knowing that we're surrounded by Friday, and yet Sunday's coming, the future Sunday. The resurrection gives hope to those who are in the darkness, to those who are seemingly stuck in an eternal Friday, right? They no longer have to live in the shadow of the past or in the shadow of their failures or in the shadow of their sin. They no longer have to be stuck in bondage to their flesh. They can be set free from the penalty of sin. They can find freedom in Jesus. They can have eternal life. They can be with the Lord, right? That is the hope that we have in Christ and the power of the resurrection in our lives. Our lives should testify to that. Our lives should be a light in the darkness, shining that out. Yes, Friday was here, but Sunday came. And yes, Friday is here, but Sunday is coming. Because Jesus is returning. He didn't leave you and abandon you, and he's not coming back. He promised he was returning to get his bride. Do you want to be with his bride? What side of the resurrection do you want to be on? There'll be a time of no more death. There'll be a time of no more tears. There will be new heavens and a new earth. It's the promise, future promise of his resurrection. Aren't you looking forward to that? Amen. Looking forward to that. And the world needs it. The world's unaware that it's stuck in a Friday, though more people are opening their eyes. Right? More people are starting to understand things aren't right. More people are starting to use phrases like, it's getting biblical up in here, without really understanding what they're talking about. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't know how true you are. Read your Bible. You'll get it. There's hope. That hope comes through Christ. That hope comes through the power of his resurrection. That hope comes through his death and his resurrection, which is why we celebrate it. And we celebrate it 24/7 and not just one day a year on Easter, but on Easter emphatically, especially. We yell it out from the rooftops. We don't let the government try to shadow it with anything else. We say, no, this day is for the Lord because it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If I may, I'm going to take inspiration from the video that we watched this morning. I'm not going to be as fluid or poetic. I'm not even going to rhyme. So you'll just have to live with it. But I took current news events from the past week and I put them together so we can kind of understand. Not that you didn't understand this. We live in a world of deception and lies. Biden makes March 31st the trans day of visibility. Evil is called good and good is called evil. It's demonic. He's mocking God. God will not be mocked. Friday is here. Sunday is coming. We have wars and rumor of wars. More and more as I read the news every day. NATO is readying for war with Russia. Sweden sends troops to Latvia. China is still talking about invading Taiwan. North Korea is making progress on supersonic missiles that can reach the U.S. World War III, anyone? Friday is here. Sunday is coming. The Islamic State calls on its followers to attack Christians and Jews in the U.S., Europe, and Israel. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in ways we haven't seen since World War II. Israel is being abandoned by many nations, including Germany and the United States, as I said they would, which is setting up Ezekiel 38 and 39. Those puzzle pieces are being put in place. Israel is readying for the offering of the red heifers, possibly during the Passover in April. The altar has been built on the Mount of Olives, but the government has given them a stand-down order, which means they're not allowed to do it publicly, though they may do it behind the scenes. Friday is here. But Sunday is coming. There's major supply chain issues that are coming due to the bridge collapse in Baltimore. You wouldn't think that one bridge would affect the United States as much as it does, but you will be surprised. People are freaked out by the coming solar eclipse, April 8th. That's traveling in a, I don't even know what direction it is, across the United States over how many cities named Nineveh? I don't even know. Six? 7 cities named Nineveh, 1 city named Jonah, and get this, 1 city in Indiana named Rapture. I didn't make any of this up, all right? It's the only city in all of the United States that's named Rapture. Not only that, but they're going to activate CERN on April 8th for the first time in 2 years to search the eclipse, right, for invisible matter that powers our universe. Sounds like the beginning of a sci-fi series. I'm sure nothing will go wrong with that. Sunday is here, but Friday is coming. Jesus tells us that when we see these things, what are we supposed to do? Panic, right? Build a bunker? Live in fear? Hide our head in the sand? No. No, no. He says, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. He told us ahead of time about things that were going to happen later in time so that we'd be ready. We're to be looking up. When you're surrounded by a world of Fridays, sometimes it's hard to look up because it's easy to get drugged down when everything is so oppressive and dark and demonic. But our redemption is drawing near. And Jesus wants the whole world to repent and to be saved. The whole world. I mean, if you're going to talk about things like that, you know, and we're talking about Nineveh and Jonah, just think of that story. Because he wanted the Ninevites to be saved. And we would have all just been like, no, we would have been just like Jonah. No, don't save the Ninevites. They're a terrible nation. Murderous, evil, demonic nation. Just wipe them out and let them be, right? We would have been just like Jonah. But no, God wanted them saved too. We have hope. Matter of fact, it tells us in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what we celebrate today. That is the Sunday we live in. That is what we share. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I pray, Lord, that you embolden us. Understanding, Lord, that we're surrounded by the evil of Fridays. And from history, we know that Friday, the day you were crucified, was a terrible day for the disciples. And we've gone through days like this ourselves personally, but we have been redeemed. You have pulled us out of Friday because Sunday came. And we live now in a resurrected life, a life that should be testifying to the truth and the power of your resurrection. Testifying to the truth of being able to live and do it in a day of promises and a day of hope. That's Sunday. And I pray, Lord, that we can just continue to share that. Share that with all who will listen. Share that with all who won't listen. Just share it. Don't be ashamed to share it. Don't be afraid to share it because people will be offended by the gospel. Offend them. Because it's their salvation we're talking about. So we pray, Lord, that we can continue to point people to Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we will live a life of joy. We will live a life of freedom. We will live a life of peace, a peace that only comes from you, because we're living a life, a resurrected life, that we received through your death and your resurrection. And we thank you, Lord, for this. And we thank you. In Jesus.